We're starting Jericho, and that's in chapter 6. I want us to backtrack just a little into chapter 5, and finish there in verse 13 of chapter 5. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. We studied this in other places when I've taught before. This is not new to a lot of you all. This is Christ, pre-incarnate Christ. The reason why we know that is because he's captain, not only that, but he says for Joshua to take his shoe off, that where he's standing is holy ground. Where else was this mentioned in the Bible where this very same thing happened?
Yeah.
Right. When Moses met who?
God.
Right. So since we know that that's the other time when it's spoken of, we can assume that this also is a meeting with God. Jesus is standing in front of Joshua, and he tells him that he demands his worship, that the place where Jesus is standing is holy. Now, I love what Jesus says to him. Joshua does what you and I would do. He's looking at this town. He's looking at these walls, which it's rumored that, and this is rumor, because no one can prove it, that they were 90 feet high and 30 feet wide. He's looking at this town that looks very formidable. He has no idea as yet how in the world he's going to attack this town. He doesn't know how to do this. You know, back at some point they begin to, when they attack towns where they got big walls like this, you know, they build these earthworks up, and they march ramming instruments against the gates of the city and go over the top of the walls and stuff like that. But here, if you're looking at let's just say you are looking at a 90-foot wall, how would you scale it? You know, they don't have cannon, they don't have anything like that. All they got is a sword, they don't have a gun. How are they going to attack this town? And he has no instructions yet. So he goes up to this guy, and he can tell that he's obviously a man of, a military man. And he says, well, who are you for us? I mean, are you for us or are you for them? Because he didn't know whether this was a man from Jericho or not. And Jesus says, no. He says, I'm not for either one of you. And this is something that you and I need to remember. Our battles are either battles within ourselves, with ourselves, or it's a battle with someone else. And when it's a battle with someone else, we need to remember that Jesus isn't for us or for them. He is for both. He loves our adversary just as much as he loves us. Now, we don't ever think about that. We never think about that. When we're in a battle with someone, Jesus is always on our side. He loves only us. And that's just always the way we're going to think about it. But we need to remember that he says the same thing to us when we're in a battle with others. I am not for you, and I am not for them. I am for whoever is for God and God's will. And we know, you and I both know, that the Scripture promises us that if we know God's will, we can have whatever it is that we're asking for, whether it's for somebody else or whether it's for us. Whether the battle is within or without, it does not matter. If you know God's will, you have got the promise. You have got it. It's a for sure thing. And so this is what he says. He says, I am for whoever wants God's will to be done. Well, now Joshua just said, well, right, hey, I'm your servant. He didn't have any problem with that. I want whatever God's will is. He knew he couldn't possibly win over Jericho unless he was on God's side. So he was going to be listening to God's instructions. But that's important for you and me. This morning I was doing battle before even starting to study. I did my battle before I got started. I had several things that were bothering me. Anxiety was crouching in on me, not because of something from within, but from without. People that I couldn't get lined up. I know we've talked about having our ducks in a row. Those of you understand, you know, that sometimes there are people who simply cannot stand it when things aren't absolutely under total control.
Or just one of them too.
Are you two like that? I think Gary has a tendency to be that way. I think a lot of people are this way. That you got to, it's not that everything is perfect. It's just that you've got to know where things are going. You've got to know everything. If it's out of control, you feel out of control. You feel anxious. And this morning I was feeling anxious about various things that I am obviously not in control of. and I felt the need to go to the Lord, and I felt the need to do this battle and to find victory. Now, I have got, in order to be able to be victorious, I have got to feel the victory. It is like in James, it's not enough, Helen, for you to be anxious and for me to say, be warmed and be filled, Helen.
That's irritating.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is really irritating. But it doesn't do you a bit of good. I mean, you're not going to be warmed and filled just because I said it. It's not going to be enough for me to tell you. And I've got a daughter who's very anxious about something right now. And she gets so sick and tired of me saying, it's going to be all right. It's going to work out. In fact, she told me so yesterday. I'm sick of hearing you say that. You know, I said, well, you know, it doesn't make it not true. Just because you're sick, it is true, but she's sick of hearing it, and it does not relieve her anxiety. The only way she'll get victory is for her to get in the Word and get victory. I can't make her get victory, and my saying it to her doesn't give her victory. So the be warmed and be filled, it's all got to come in here. It's got to be in here for me to have victory. So this morning I was doing battle, and I put each one of these little things in the hand of God. Individually discussed it at length, put these things in his hands, curled his fingers over them, and gave it to him. Then I opened up my scripture and asked him to speak to me about it, just as another salve that I needed. And I loved what he did. He never fails me. He always does this and does it for you too. But I opened up into Psalms, and it was Psalm 78, and I already had it highlighted over here to the edge of my eye. I fell right to it where I had highlighted where he says, don't limit God. And he spoke to me through his Holy Spirit, which said, you know, okay, you have put these individuals in my hand. And I know exactly, because you've told me exactly what you want done with these individuals according to my will. But even that is limiting me. Even that has only taken care of the problem. You have not extended it even into above and beyond what you can think to ask me for that individual. In other words, I can do better than that. And what that did was not only give me a modicum of peace about what I had done, but it gave me a total salve, and I had the victory. And I was able to say, hey, that's just terrific. I can't even imagine what great things you're going to do, but it's going to be better than what I gave you. It's like the time when Jesus healed the lepers, the 10 lepers that came to him. And he healed all 10 of them. And they went away. He said, go on and go to the priest and get your cleansing, because that was what they had to do. And 9 of them went off to do that. One of them came back and worshiped him. And the scripture says, he was made whole. And I believe, it's my personal belief, that one and only that one got his nose back. You know what I mean? When leprosy attacks a person, it eats their pieces off. I think 10 of them had leprosy stopped. One of them got the pieces put back. That's just my personal belief from what the scriptures, I can't prove it to you. But I think that's kind of the difference between limiting God and not limiting him. Getting it all better than what you could ever imagine it could be. And we do. We limit him. Anyway, my battle on that is over. I am thankful. I am very thankful. But don't forget the order that we do these things and how we do these things. Now, this was a battle from without. It's not a battle from within. I wasn't battling, as some of you all have done, cigarettes. You know how that battle is? This terrible thing from within you cannot get victory over, and then finally, I've got victory. You know? Well, this is a battle from without. I sure wish these people would just get their lives straightened out. Then I'd feel a lot better off. You know, why can't they do what they're supposed to do? Why can't they turn loose? Why can't they... Oh, so I don't even know which is worse. None of them are good, but that's what this is all about.
And let me ask you a question. Yes. Are you leaving them there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Tomorrow, the next day.
Mm-mm, are you not going to come back?
Okay. You're not going to
pick up.
Okay.
Let's talk about this.
Okay. If nothing's changed.
It won't be.
Three weeks from
now. It will not be.
Okay. You're not going to pray about it again.
It's not going. There's not going to be fixed. There's okay. not going to be. In fact, it may get worse.
Okay. And you're not going to pray about it again.
Well, no. What I will do when the thought comes to me or when I am face to face with a worse situation, what I will do is do what we're going to look at here.
Oh, okay.
We're going. But no, I'm glad you brought it up, because that'll just reinforce it. You're going to remind God that you've done this, because you're not reminding Him, you're reminding yourself, and you're going to praise. You are not going to ask for it again. You're just going to say, hey, you know, we've taken care of that, and I praise you. Because once it's truly done, you don't have any need to go back and bawl and squall and beg and plead and lay it all out there again. Because you know that He's going to do it. There's no time on it, though. There's no time frame. And I know Him well enough to know that I'm not expecting it tomorrow. And I'm not expecting it in a month. Probably not in 6 months to a year, and maybe not in my lifetime. But I do know that those things are taken care of. And I think there were five of them, so it's some of them will get quicker and some of them will be longer. So it's, you know, and I'll get to rejoice in some of them coming to pass quicker than others. But they're all there. And you will shout and praise in the meantime. And we'll talk about that more and get it. But yeah, she's right. Some people just can't simply can't. But I think experience helps.
Well, too, sometimes different situations. I mean, you can get that peace and that assurance over something. And then something else. You keep praying and going to God, too, you get it. I mean,
oh, yeah.
That's what she has said before.
One time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's that, you know, the first assembly, not first assembly. The denomination has a phrase called praying through. Y'all heard that? Those of you, y'all, okay. You know all in the world that means is that I kept at it until I got the peace. That's all it means.
It just was not a one-time thing.
Heaven's not, well, I mean, it depends.
That's what I'm saying. Each such, it's not always a set formula.
It is in a way. It always is reached at the same. It all is reached the same way, but some things we simply cannot let go of.
That's what I mean. It's not just the.
It's like when my
time that you're going to automatically have that.
Oh, it won't be done.
Sure.
I mean, if it's done, it's done. If it's not, it's not. And you know it. You can't lie to yourself. When the anxiety is gone, it's gone. And then you know you've got the victory. Jericho's walls are fallen. But when the anxiety is there, the walls are still up. You are still trying. You're still standing like Joshua outside looking at the city. You are not marching around it. We're fixing to talk about that. You have not started to march around Jericho if you have anxiety. You're still standing outside talking to the captain. Who are you for? Don't we do that? Just who are you for in this? Aren't you listening to me? Don't you care? You know, don't you know who I am? I'm your servant. I mean, do I from his church? I mean, you know, y'all know how we talk to him. And if we don't, we know how we really feel.
He knows.
Yeah, he knows how
we say it.
Yeah, no, we can't fool him. So we really feel like we deserve a whole lot better than we get. But we are not really marching around Jericho as long as you have that anxiety. And sometimes you never can march around Jericho. I have had instances where I never did start marching. I just never did. Jericho just stood there. Never did get around that thing. I don't know why. It's just that some things, it's like a kid I had, I told you about before. One kid I had never did let me pray for a certain thing, you know, when they had. And I said, why? And she was laying on the floor, bawling and squalling. And I said, why? And she said, because it's too big. She wouldn't have let me pray for it. It was much too big for me to pray for. It wouldn't do any good. It was monumental to her. So why pray for it? It ain't going to work. I'm not going to let you do it. Don't even waste your breath. This is not a prayer situation. So, you know, that's just sometimes the way we look at things. Not that we don't pray for it, but it's just too big. Too big for God to handle. And besides, we know God. We know it's going to take forever. If I turn something over to Him, it's going to take so long. If I had it in my own hands, I can get this done. How many of us are manipulators? If we are in charge of it, we'll browbeat somebody into something. we will get it done. I'm one of those. I can move heaven and earth. I may make you hate me, but I can but I can get it done, you know. But God just doesn't work it that way. Okay, let's move on. Instead of starting, well, let's start 6. We'll read verse 1 and 2. Now, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. It was shut up because of the children of Israel. What is it Rahab had said? They were terrified. Were they not? The people of Jericho were terrified. All right, remember that. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. See what? All I'm looking at is a 90-foot tall wall. What am I supposed to see? But I love the way God says this. See, you've already got the victory. And we stand there and say, I don't see anything but the problem. I see that it hasn't changed. Let's say you're praying for somebody who hasn't spoken to you in 3 years. And you've done all you know to do. You've tried every manipulation you can to make that person like you. After all, you like you. Why shouldn't they like you? You can't see any reason why not. God likes you. You know, there's no reason why that person won't come around. And there's nothing else you can do. You've written them letters. You've tried to call them. You've tried to make them like you. You've smiled. You have done everything in the world you can to show them what a wonderful person you are. They still don't talk to you. They still don't like you. Well, that's one of those situations that you can put into the palm of God, and he can say, see. And you can say, well, I haven't had a call. They still don't speak. But he says, see, they love you. But you have proof they don't. They don't talk. They don't have anything to say, and they're ugly to you. But he says, see, I told you we were winning this thing, and you have nothing to show that they're winning it at all. But that's the way he sees it. And we've got to see it the same way. Once he says it's mine, it is, see, they do love me. Now I can wait 3 years for them to give me a telephone call. Because they love me. In faith, they do. Faith is remember, it's a gift of God. It's given to you. You didn't conjure it up. If it's conjured up, it's not faith. Faith that is conjured up because you want it is not going to work. That's not faith. Faith is God putting it into your heart and your anxiety is gone, and therefore you know it's the will of God. Is it not the will of God for this person to speak to you? Of course it is. If at all possible, with peace, we will all men. It's a scripture. You know it's God's will. Well, are you willing to do everything that you're supposed to do, like forgive everything they've ever done? Forgive them for not speaking to you. Forgive them for hating you. Forgive them for anything they have ever done, and love them. After you've done all of that, and there's no animosity in your heart toward this person, you just sit back and wait, because one of these days they're going to love you. And you know it. So, once you come to that point, you can wait easier. You're not in anxiety over how long it's going to take. All right, now, so let's go to Joshua 24 with this in mind. In Joshua 24, verse 12, well, in 24, he's just going over what he's already done. And we're sitting here looking at the first battle, and he's going over all the battles. Let's look at 11. And you went over Jordan, you came unto Jericho, the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the whatever. And verse 12, and I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites. But, look at this, not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. Well, I looked up this hornet, and it takes us to Exodus 23:28 and Deuteronomy 7:20. Let's go to Deuteronomy 7:20. Deuteronomy 7:20. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them. Now this is Moses talking to them before they've even gotten over there, okay? Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them. The Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee. Look at this. This is important to you and me. Little by little. Little by little. Oh, remember that the next time you're bawling and squalling before God and how slow your victory is coming. Little by little. Why? Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until you have destroyed them. This is so important to us. The hornet stands for terror, sheer terror. That's the way God always won victories. And that's the way he's going to win them in the future. We have Armageddon coming, and if you'll read in Zechariah chapter 14 talks the same thing. It's confusion and terror, and that's the way God wins. He does not win it with a sword. He does not win it with might of man. He wins it with confusion and terror. Now, this is the hornet. Remember, Jericho is shut up. It's shut up for one reason only, and that's terror. He has already stricken their hearts with terror. That's why he can say, see, you've already won this battle. People in there are frightened out of their cords of you. Now, that's the hornet. But let's look down in 22. The Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee little by little. You know, it's not God's will for us to have victory just like this. Every time you say it. Every time you speak to the mountain, that thing is just mowed down. I mean, you can just go in that hospital out there and just walk from room to room healing everybody out there. I mean, there's nothing that you can't do immediately. The minute you speak something, I mean, people just fall. This is not God's will, and this is not his way. What would happen?
They never learn a lesson.
What about you?
I never learn a lesson.
Boy, it'd be tough. You sure wouldn't. I mean, you'd be so high and so mighty, you would not be able to be lived with. And that's why even Paul had nothing but defeat. One defeat after another. Little by little. You look at Paul's life. Read Acts and look at the horrible things that happened to him. Every horrible thing that happened to him was the thorn in the side, keeping him from feeling higher than he should feel about himself and the little victories that he gained. And yet we owe everything to him, don't we? Of course we do. The expansion of Christianity was under his hand, his letters to us, and he thought they were nothing. He really did. He did not know that they were important. And God didn't want him to know. Your victories are little by little, slowly but surely. And it's that way because God wants it to be that way. So that we do not think more highly of ourselves, so that we can learn and be used of him. Also, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. The field is the world. And the beast, I looked this up, is a fierce destructive power. The beast of Revelation, when we read in Revelation chapter 6, these beasts are good beasts. These are living creatures. But these beasts that the scripture calls beasts most of the time are just power. In other words, it's out of Satan's hand. Or God allowing them to come upon us. All right.
What's the verse in Joshua? I'm sorry.
We're in Joshua
7. Huh? Something. Before you start on this, you hit.
I was in Joshua 24.
Joshua
24, 12 through 14.
Okay, thank you.
And so now we're in Deuteronomy 7, and God is telling them what is going to happen to them, that little by little, they will drive out the inhabitants. But we don't want to be consumed of the beasts. I think a lot about, you remember when Jesus was talking about driving out the evil spirits from a person, and be sure that once the evil spirits were all driven out, that you filled that house back up again, because what? What would happen?
More would come in.
More would come in, that person would be worse off than they were. Well, I think this scripture, although I can't explain it totally, I think it'd be like if everything that you did and wanted to do for God came to pass immediately, and you had power just running through you, I mean, there was nothing that you couldn't do. It would be like that that house, you'd be so puffed up within time of who you were and how important you were, that you would become worse than you had been before you ever started doing stuff like this. That demonic forces could so influence you to feeling how wonderful you were, like, let's just use Swagger and them, you know? Look how horrible that kind of thing can be. Look how far you can fall. Does anybody want to change places with him right now? Anybody? I sure don't. I don't care how high he has come. I wouldn't go for his low right now for anything in the world. And I think that's what we're talking about here. Let's watch. It's not, you know, God, when it's slow, be thankful even for that. Okay, now back to, let's go back to Joshua 6. He says, in verse chapter 6, and you shall compass the city, all you men of war, go round about the city once, thus shall you do 6 days. 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow upon the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant. Let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. He said unto the people, pass on, compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the Lord, ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of the ram's horn passed on before the Lord, blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rear reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. This is real confusing. Fix and straighten it out a minute. Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall you shout. We're going to stop right there and talk about that. That is important. We've talked about this before. The way to lose your joy is to talk negatively about what you are believing for. And God says here, do not do that. Don't say a word. When you're walking around that city, don't say, this is really dumb. You know, this is not going to happen. Well, I don't know how long it's going to take. You know, you don't do that. Don't say anything. You put it in God's hands. He has removed the anxiety from you. You know the best way for anxiety to come back on you and to pick that thing back up again is to let Susan talk you into saying something negative about it. Well, Archie, just what have you got from the Lord on it new? And you say, I don't need anything new. The old is just fine. Well, just how long is it going to take, Archie? I tell you what, they're just going to hell in a handbasket. I don't care. They're not. God said they weren't. You see, people do that to us, and they mean well. We're still marching. Verse 11. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going around about it once, and they came into camp and lodged in the camp. Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rear reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once, they returned to the camp, so they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early, but the dawn of the day, and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. It came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Now, we're stopping right there. This is a bunch of stuff in here. Let's get the order right of how these things were doing. The first thing that went, number one, was the armed forces. Number two was the 7 priests with the horns. Number 3 was the ark. And number 4 was the people. This is important. When you are going to have victory, you need to remember the order. The first thing that we do when we have a battle to face, when we have anxiety in our heart, whether it's within or without, we need to get the armed forces going. What is the armed forces to you? What are they armed with? What did they have in that day and time?
Sword.
A sword. That's all they had. And the sword is the Word of God. All right, so let's go back to Ephesians where we see this. Ephesians 6. In Ephesians 6, verse 12, or 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is all we do. You can't say that Joshua doesn't apply to us today. Or you can't say, well, Angie, I don't like the way you're always talking about this same subject. That's what it is. That's all it is. Joshua isn't Jericho anymore. That's what it is. The only thing important to you and me today is doing battle. That's it. We do battle every day. If you're not doing battle with your kids, you're doing it with your husband. If you're not doing it with your husband, you're doing it with yourself. If you're not doing it with yourself, you're doing it at work. Are you not in battle every single day against something or somebody? Constantly. And if you aren't, it's because you're not tuned into what's going on. You're just living. You're not tuned. Okay. So in verse 12 it says, we are wrestling, not against flesh and blood. Now, this morning I had five specific things that I needed to get control of within my heart. But I am really and truly not doing battle with five different people. I am doing battle with Satan's influence in five different areas. That's all in the world it is. Satan trying to get victory in places where I'm saying, no, you can't. Why can't he? Because this belongs to me. Well, why can I say that? I can say that because I'm God's kid. If I was not his kid, I could not say that. You can do an awful lot just because you belong to him. And anything that you touch, you influence. Whether it's through intercession, through your ministry in their life, whatever it is, through whatever means, you have this ability because you're God's kid. Especially if somebody is in your family. How many times in the Bible did it say, in their whole house? Alright, we're wrestling against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now in verse 17 it says, take the helmet of salvation. It's not being saved so that I can get to heaven. When I'm doing battle, hey, I already know I'm going to heaven. That's not my problem. I want everybody else to get there too. You know, that's my battle. My battle is the helmet of salvation. That's my head. That's my thinking. So knowing the will of God to save in this situation. What situation are you battling? What is the will of God in that? That is his salvation for that case. What does God want for that case? We'll find out. Think about it. What does God want for this? What is his perfect will for this? When you know it up here, then what's the next thing you do? The next thing is you take the sword, which is the Word of God. Find a verse on it. If you don't know it, if it doesn't come to your mind, find it. Any way you want to. Open up the scripture and say, okay, speak. Or don't do it that way. Look up in your concordance something that will strike you. Go anywhere you want to, but ask him to talk. And once he has talked, then you've got your sword drawn. You're ready. What's the next thing? This is what we're going to talk about next week. This is really big. This is going to be a whole week's lesson, I'm afraid. This horn, this is important. I don't have time. The bell rang, but it's, I gave you a hint. It's tied to Leviticus 25. Y'all do some study in Leviticus 25 this week. It's important. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe that Leviticus 25 tells us an awful lot about Jesus coming back to earth again for the last time. I really believe it's one of the most important chapters in the Bible. And it's all tied in with this ram's horn. So it's important. Now, what's next after this horn? The presence of God. And the last thing What is the least thing most important? You. You are the most unimportant part of God's whole doing. And that's why it's called the rest of God. You're doing battle. I did battle this morning. Am I doing anything physically? What am I doing? I'm doing nothing. I am doing nothing. I am unimportant to this. The only important thing that I had to do with this was to think it, to pray it, and not to limit God on it, to believe, faith. But I didn't even create the faith. He did it. So I am very unimportant, but I am his instrument to get all five of these things taken care of. Now, I can die. I can drop dead right now, and all five of these things are going to come to pass because I'm not important. I am unimportant. Terribly unimportant in their lives. So, we'll take up there. This is going slow, but it isn't. We can stop with just capturing Jericho, and you've got Joshua. You know, it was the biggest, it was the most massive. It got them into the country. It divided the country, and then they could go north and south, and they had the whole country. Okay. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And Betty, would you close us?